ascension and the resurrection of Jesus. But he did not just die. The miracle is in the resurrection. So the enemy could not keep him in the grave, and the haters could not keep him in the grave, and shame and guilt could not keep him in the grave. He rose again and lives today. And in the same way, your enemy cannot keep you in the grave, and the haters can't keep you in the grave, and your sickness cannot keep you in the grave, because your praise will set you free. Let's give our praise to Jesus. Lord, be mighty in this house in the name of Jesus. Move in our lives. We decree and declare healing and freedom and prosperity in all things as we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excited to plead the blood over your life. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Oh, come on.
I plead the blood. Oh, I plead the blood.
Come on, sing it out.
Sing, I plead the blood.
Come on, give God a shout. Give God a shout. Come on. Come on, give God a shout. Come on. Come on, come on. Give God a shout. I said give God a shout like you've never given a shout before. Come on, we got to plead the blood. Hallelujah. Y'all awake? How y'all doing today? Today's a great Sunday. Turn to your neighbor and say, today's a great Sunday. Today is the day that the Lord has made, so I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? All right, so turn to your neighbor. Tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free. He gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Come on and sing that with me real quick.
Tell somebody
how he set me free.
He
gave me the victory. Yeah.
Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Come on and sing out. Tell somebody.
Tell somebody about Jesus. How he set you free. He
gave you
victory.
Come on and sing it out.
Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
For there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Come on, y'all know that part.
There is power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
Precious blood.
Come on, I love that part. There is power. Come on, testify.
There is power. Wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb.
Power.
Wonder-working power in the
blood. Come on, speak it out. Sing. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Y'all know it. Sing it out.
Cause
victory today is mine. Come on, sing that out.
Victory is mine.
Y'all sound amazing.
Victory today is mine.
Sing it.
I told Satan.
Go ahead and get thee.
Victory today is mine.
Come on, turn to your neighbor and testify. If you really got victory, you better tell somebody that you're victorious. Come on, because it only happens through declaration. I don't care if there's a child next to you. You better look them in the eye and say, you got victory, because they need to hear that. You got victory. I got victory. I'm victorious. Come on, tell somebody.
Tell somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. How he set
Because he took
free.
The shackles off.
Gave you the victory.
And he did it for me.
Tell somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus.
Tell somebody.
Tell somebody about the goodness.
Come on, we got power, right?
There is power, power. Wonder-working power. Of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
And because of that, I'm victorious, right? So victory is mine. Victory is mine. Y'all know this. Come on.
Victory today is mine.
Come on, you gotta tell Satan, get behind me.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
I'm victorious.
I told
Go ahead and get me behind me.
Today is mine.
Come on and tell somebody about it.
Tell somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus.
I love it.
How he sets you free.
Come on and feel it.
Gave me the victory.
Did he make you free? Come on.
Tell somebody about Jesus.
Tell somebody about,
The goodness.
And you got power, right? Come on, you got power.
There is power, power. Wonder working.
You said wonder working.
That
means lives can be transformed. That means as you're singing, this cancer's leaving. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Wonder working. Hey, Shakaya. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Something's happening right now. I feel it. I feel it, there's power, wonder-working power. Miracles are happening, hallelujah. Backs are being transformed. Finances are flowing into your life as you sing this.
Wonder-working
And you got victory, right?
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
Tell them, tell them.
I told Satan, get thee behind.
Yeah.
Victory today is mine.
Come on, let Satan know victory is yours. Now, come on. I felt like singing a little bit more, but y'all feel like shouting. So give God a shout. Come on, there's victory in your shout. You see, when you make a noise, things have to happen. When you make a noise, things have to happen. The walls of Jericho couldn't fall down until they made a shout. See, you got walls of Jericho on your finances. Just give God a shout. I love it. Come on, victory.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Today is mine.
I told go ahead and get thee
behind me. Victory today is mine.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, come on, worship, of the Lamb. For there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
If you believe that he gave you that victory once and he'll do it again, just go ahead, get your hands up. And he'll do it in a new way each and every single time. He never runs out of power. His power is infinite. Infinite. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You'll do it again.
There was no way, and I believe. Some of you are wondering how you're still standing. God says, you're not staying on your own. I've been with you the whole time. I've never given up on you. I've never stepped back from you. Even when you thought you were at the end of your rail, you were at the end of your strength, you felt something fresh come upon you. That was me, says the Lord. I've always been there. I told you I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to abandon you. And even when you are weak, when you call upon me, I'll give you a strength you don't even understand. It goes beyond the natural understanding. And it goes through my spirit, saith the Lord, who dwells inside of you. Even when you thought it was done, you'll always find a fresh strength. Because I, the Lord thy God, am stronger than the mountains that you seem to be facing. Hallelujah!
I've seen you move.
Jesus! Jesus,
I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe I see you do it again.
Thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love for us. Thank you, God, that even in the least beautified situation we have ever been in, you still love us the same. Lord, today we honor you with praise and with worship. And we want you to know from the very depths of our hearts, we love you. And thank you, God. You are good. Even in the middle of all the junk and the trash and the hurt and the wounds, and even in the midst of the tragedy, God, you are still our strength, and we appreciate you always being there. Thank you, God, for never giving up on us, and thank you, God, for always being faithful to us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. There's an individual here on your right hand, mid-forearm, and up into your pinky area. You're having a lot of pain. God is healing that this morning in the name of Jesus. Also on the right hand, I don't think it's the same person. It goes from the elbow right here, all the way down to your thumb. If you'll start moving that, you'll find God's healing coming on you right where you're at. There's also a person in your right. It must be the right side today. The right on, right at the ball of your ankle. There's just a lot of pain around the ball of your ankle, and God's healing you right now in the name of Jesus. He just loves you. You know, a lot of people say, well, those aren't big things. Well, they don't have to be big things. It's a big thing to the person who has them. Dear Lord, amen. There's enough pain. God didn't give you pain. God gave you freedom. Amen. God gave you freedom. And so I just want to encourage you, while you're in the presence of the Lord, just be encouraging and be encouraged. God really does love you and care for you. It's not a religion, man. This is real. You know, one day we're going to see him face to face. And he's not going to, listen, he's not going to go, well, I'm glad you almost made it. He's going to go, that's my kid right there, man. Do you see my boy? Do you see my kid right there? That's my kid. That's mine right there. That's right. I paid everything for that child. And that child makes me proud. You know, I remember when my kids have done some great things. You know, I burst a button, pull, pops right off. The Bible says you're the apple of your father's eye. And you know what else it says? It says he spins and dances over you. We're talking like God is so excited about you. The Bible says he spins and dances over your life because he loves you that much. You know, everybody in this world might give up on you. He never will. He never will. And not only that, he's spinning and dancing over you. Even in the midst of your ugliness, anybody who ever been ugly before, he still loves you. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, he still loves you. Find five people that you don't know and say, he still loves you. Come on, go find somebody. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody this morning and say, he still loves you.
Okay, that's enough talking, enough mingling. Go ahead and have a seat now. Okay? Thank you.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with his kids or on Wednesday night with Uproar Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at aaron@histabernacle.com.
Hey guys, listen, we save souls here, but we also save lives. So we want to let you know about the next blood drive that will be held by the Red Cross right here at His Tabernacle, August 10th from 2 until 6 p.m. You can email Pastor Chad at pastorchad@histabernacle.com, or you can arrive and show up and give your blood. Again, August 10th from 2 to 6 p.m. right here.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us do what? Rejoice. Let us do what? I don't hear you rejoicing. Okay, that's where you're supposed to like shout back. So I don't hear you rejoicing. Amen. We have every reason to rejoice today. We have breath in our lungs. We have a step in our feet. We have every reason to say, God, I just thank you for this day. And it is a privilege to worship with you at our 11 a.m. service. Who had fun this morning during worship? Who feels like they got some victory back in their lives? Amen. Amen. If this is your first time attending to worship with us, can I just see your hand up? If this is your first time to worship with us. Any hands? Awesome. Come on, let's get up for our first time attendees. Amen. At this time, you're going to be receiving a welcome bag from us, has some gifts in there, has some information about our church. But most importantly, after our service, we'll have to meet you outside on our front patio under our tent. You get to meet some of the pastors, some of the people on staff. We'll get to know you a little bit better. So again, thank you so much for being a first time attendee today. We look forward to seeing you next week. And in that same vein, let us go ahead and welcome our live stream family. Thank you guys so much for tuning in every single week faithfully. We love you guys and we bless you guys. So who here is involved in a group? Oh, look at the hands. Who is involved in the best group? Okay. Well, I heard that your group was kind of cool because you have lots of food. But I want to show you guys a picture of the absolutely best group at His Tabernacle. Come on, somebody. Look at those good-looking people. So in addition to my awesome group, and you're almost awesome groups. I'm kidding. Your all groups are awesome. We love to live life together. Amen. Nobody in a group feels alone. Nobody feels left out. We are all part of this one amazing family, but we all have a small group family, and we love to live life with each other. So I want to encourage you, if you are not part of that, if you feel disconnected, if you feel like you're not part of a family, there's a simple answer. Join a group. All right, so I want you to go outside to the hub, to the tent, find one of us and say, hey, I need to feel like family. Please help me in joining a group. We'll be more than happy to help you with that. Amen. Also, we have a thing called Next Steps. Shout Next Steps. We're excited that you were saved, but we want you to build up in your faith. So we have different classes going on every 3 months. So right now we have a class that's called Family and Parenting. It meets on Tuesdays on this side of the building at 7 to 8 p.m. We have a great teacher. We have great content. You do not want to miss that out. So this week, I'd love to see you Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the classroom, and then also in a group. Amen?
Praise the Lord. What a great day. We want to give God praise. Yesterday, we did an outreach down in Elmira, and 16 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, 19 people gave their hearts to the Lord. 16 on Saturday. We're believing God. The Bible says the church was added to daily. Well, I like that. But I want where it gets a little bit further down. It says the church was being multiplied. I believe God's kingdom needs to multiply. Can I hear an amen? I believe we need to see more people born again, especially in these last days. That message on the end times is so powerful. Jesus is coming. Turn to someone and say, Jesus is coming. Praise the Lord. We're glad that today we're able to receive the offering. I love taking and receiving the offering for a reason. And that is because when you understand tithing, sowing, and alms, when you understand God's economy, you'll always remain in blessing. Now, I want you to realize this. You cannot outgive God. Can I hear an amen? You can't. You can't outgive God. It's funny when people say, well, you know, all they want at that church is your money. In my head, this is all I say. They don't get it, do they? And the fact is, they don't get it. Because when you learn that tithing, the principle of God, works in your life, then you can't stop. In fact, what's amazing is this, is that when you understand tithing, you can't afford not to tithe. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I knew this couple, Amy Bishop's mom and dad, actually, in our last church. She drove school bus for Newfield, and he worked, actually, he also drove school bus and was working in the maintenance department. And you know, that's not a lot of money. But man, they were givers. They gave so much a year, actually, that they got audited every single year for giving over half of their salary. But yet, their house was paid off, their second house was paid off. And everything they had, they continued to blossom and grow. And financially, man, they never had a need. Why is that? Because when you understand tithing and sowing and reaping and the principles of giving, what happens is this. You recognize that God is your source. See, when you and I have to be our source, there's a reason to get a little concerned. When the company you are with has to be your source, you've got a reason to be concerned. But when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all the resources of heaven is available for you, you got no reason to worry. Can I hear an amen? So I want to encourage you to be a giver. And when you do, man, you'll never outgive your God. We have a great testimony. I love, how many of you realize we all go through the same junk? How many of you have ever had financial problems before? How many of you have ever struggled in church before? Listen, we all go through the same junk. We have difficulties in our lives. But what's good is to recognize you're not alone. Turn to someone and say, you're not alone. To realize you're not alone is important, and that somebody has gone through it and gone through. Turn to someone and say, don't ever stop. Listen, you got to go through. Don't stop. Go through. And you'll always find God will make a way. So I'd like you folks to give your testimony.
I love you. I love you. How y'all doing? Y'all doing well? So as you know, me and this beautiful woman next to me, that was six. Six.
They get married
in 6 days. So me and this beautiful woman beside me, that's the part where y'all like, oh, he said beautiful. Thanks. See? But so we got engaged last November. And like right after it, everybody was like, yo, I want to give to you guys. I want to bless you guys. You know, bills were being paid and everything was great. But then like 4 to 5 months before we, you know, are going to get married, everything just ceased. And like she's still in college, so she doesn't have a job. And I lost my job. So like things were harsh. And we just only had enough money for bills and stuff like that. So last month, the Samples, who got married, they took me to lunch and they were just like, hey, if you ask God for it, he'll provide. They saw it happen and they know that they can do it again. Endless plug. But so I prayed and we got together and we prayed and we were like, God, we need $2,200. And right after we prayed, we sowed and we tithed. And immediately God gave us $100 while we were at small group. And then $2,000 3 days later. And then another $100 3 days later. And he literally gave us $2,200 after we asked for it. And it's amazing. So here you go.
One thing I just wanted to point out to you guys was during our hardships in like the fourth or fifth month, when we were just like, we don't have money to pay for this wedding. What are we going to do? Right? So then stress comes over. It happens to every single one of us. Stress comes over and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And just looking crazy. You look crazy. Listen, trust in the Lord. Amen. We literally stopped tithing because we were like, we have to pay bills. Bills come. We didn't put God first. But one Sunday after the samples talked to us, we were just like, no, God first. And we tithed, and immediately we got all the money. We got the apartment that we have been praying for. Everything that we wanted, we got it. And the only person that could give us that was God. So it's the only thing. He gets all the glory. Amen.
Amen. She's so beautiful, isn't she? Oh, my gosh.
Amen. My wife and I got a great truth, too. One day when I was on the road, it was November of 1995, and we had just gone on the road as an evangelist. Corinne had just been born, and the two other boys were there. And I came from a church down in South Carolina, and they ripped me off. And I don't know if you knew that or not, but not all churches are honest. And so they ripped us off, and it actually cost me money to go and preach there than it was with the offering. They kept the offering. So I came home, and we had to pay bills. And I also put the last diapers on the kids and did the bottles with the last bit of milk. And I said, we have a choice. We either feed the kids or we tithe. The one thing, and this is where the breakthrough comes in your life. We know that you can't outgive God. And when you walk in obedience to God, He'll always bless you. And so my wife and I tithed. The world would say you're crazy, but when you're serving a great God, man, you're not crazy, you're smart. Not too long after that, I got a knock on the door from a man named Joe. Joe said the Holy Spirit spoke to him to go buy groceries for us. We didn't tell anybody. He walked in with two bags of groceries, a bag thing of diapers. He said, I'm not sure which size diapers your kids live in, but so I just bought a bunch of different ones. And then he bought 2 gallons of milk, and he bought me, and he said, Pastor, I bought you a steak. I hope you don't mind. I want you to know that I'm not saying that it was easy to tithe during that time, but when you obey God, you'll always find the blessings will chase you down. Amen? We say that every week. We say the declaration every week, but it's not fake. It's real. It's not religious. It's real. It's not just getting money out of people. It's getting money to people. Because when you learn to be a tither, sowing, and a reaper, you learn that God will always get it to you. Amen? So this morning, why don't you stand to your feet? If you're our guest, what we usually do is bring our offerings to the Lord. Next Sunday, we always give seed in our church to guest speakers. And I think that's awesome, and it's very important. But next Sunday, I'm asking you to pray. We're going to give seed to your own house, to where you go to church. We're going to give seed to this house. This is good ground. How many of you know that's good ground? In fact, I just got a testimony. Where's that young lady? Where'd she go? There you are. Laura, God healed her this morning in first service. Amen. What was that called? Neuropathy? Neuropathy. She was healed this morning of neuropathy. Her sensations in her feet are all gone, and God's healed her. A man back there. What's your name one more time, brother? Yeah. Daniel. God healed his right arm. Glory to God. See, God loves to heal. So 16 people born again yesterday, people healed this morning, people saved in first service. This is a great, great place to sow. So ask God what He would have you sow into your own house next week. We're not going to take it this week, receive the offering this week for seed for the house. That's next week. You just ask God. Whatever He tells you to give, just give out of obedience. And we know the house will be always blessed. We have some things we need to do and move forward in the house. Amen? Good place to sow is your own home. Glory to God. Are you ready to make your supernatural declaration? Tell somebody, I'm a tither. Come on, tell somebody else, I'm a tither. Shout if I obey. I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. Come on now, the blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching by live stream, this is your moment right now. Right now is your moment. Go over there, click give. Man, if this is your house where you seem to get all your spiritual food, you're not going to another church. Where you tithe where you go to church. If this is your church, you tithe right now. And don't forget, next week you're going to receive a special seed for the house that you are receiving from right by live stream. We love you.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means war.
This means war.
This means war. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all this well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray.
No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
This means war.
Hallelujah. Hi. Praise the Lord. We want to give a shout out real quick to the renovation house. Amen. Over on this side, thank you all for coming again this week. We also want to give a shout out to our friends from Ohio. They've come from all the way out in Ohio to come out and be with us. And we're blessed. And you know, there's just so many of you. We just want to thank you. Marlo, I love you, dude. I just want you to know I love you. You know, it's a great day. And how many of you love baby dedications? This is a special one for me. Mom and Dad Ebo are in town. Now, I'll tell you something. The Ebo family are just amazing. If I could slide right in there. I just want to share with you real quickly. You see, there's something called impartation. And what you're seeing here is a lineage. Everybody know lineage, right? Lineage and legacy is what we're all trying to leave. We don't want to die and everybody forgets us. Turn to someone and say amen. Legacy is important. And that is, true legacy is established not on what you have, but what you give. You'll be remembered far more for what you give than what you have. The more lives you touch, the more lives you change, the more you're remembered. So legacy is powerful. And you know, I look at my dad, Ebo. I just love them so much. They're really part of our family.
You really are. I even like you.
And there's a portion in Scripture that just always jumps out at me when it comes to the power of family. Where'd you go? There it is. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 1, starting verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you and my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith. Now, it's not just the Ebos. Woman of God, you are a prayer warrior. And a woman who loves God. You know, you have captivated your son-in-law so much that he said, now listen, you want to hear a miracle? I want you to live with me. He loves you. Do you know, that's powerful. And so the legacy is not just on the Ebo side. It's on your side. Amen? I always forget. Here we go. I found it. I found it again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. You know, that's called impartation. And this child, he's getting so big. He's very, Levi, you are named a very powerful name because that's prophetic. And God's got great things for you and your brother. But the great part is their floor is our ceiling. Pastor Ebo, your floor was their ceiling. I always say it wrong. Your floor was your mother's ceiling. Can you imagine what these two are going to do for God? It is going to be phenomenal. And so I'm just so blessed to be able to dedicate. Now, I want to remind you that dedication has absolutely nothing to do with the baby. You know that, right? Baby doesn't know what's going on. Well, he might figure things out. Hi. But really, this is about the parents and the grandparents and the body of Christ rallying around the child and saying, we will raise up the child in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart. It is a choice. I go on a rant. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to rant a little bit. I go on a rant. I think I went on it this morning. I think the cruelest thing, and I'm going to just say it right out loud, one of the cruelest things is parents who are brought up in the gospel not raising their children in the gospel. And I'll tell you why. Because you were given a choice to go to heaven or hell, but you don't even give it to your kids. Man, there's nothing more cruel, I believe. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. That, man, I don't get moved often in that manner. That really hurts me when I see parents not raising their children in the kingdom. You had the choice. At least give your kids a choice. And you know, these babies, they don't just have a choice. They're propelled. And so let's dedicate. Father, I thank you for Levi in the name of Jesus. There you go. We thank you for this young man and the call on his life in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the things he'll do for your kingdom. Thank you that he has a strong, sturdy spirit. And that, Lord, he's going to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and do mighty things for your kingdom.
Father in heaven, we thank you again and we bless you, Lord. As we dedicate Levi today, Lord, we pray, King of Glory, he will go into places for your name. Lord, we pray that as he grows up, Lord, the enemy will not steal him. Lord, he will stand strong for you, Lord. That his peers will look up to him, Lord. May kings come to him and bow. Father, that he will grow to be a child that has decided to serve you. We thank you for your blessings upon him. And we ask you, Lord, that you will help his parents as they raise him up. They will not be afraid of raising him in the word of the Lord. We thank you that even we as grandparents will not overspoil him, that we will discipline him at the appropriate time. Father, he will grow up and will serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I do have to ask one question. Did you have to spank Pastor Obi often? Thank you so much for being here. Praise the Lord. There you go, Pastor. We have something special for you today. 3 weeks, actually it's been 4 weeks now. We preached on hell, then we preached on heaven, and then we preached on the rapture of the church. And this morning I want to introduce to you a great woman of God, not just because she's my spouse, but she truly is a great woman of God. You know, many times we don't realize what we have in our midst. She'll be going back to Africa here in August. She's booked all the way through December and actually has to turn away bookings because they're calling. Right now she's being introduced through, which television station? Through Daystar Television. She'll be, they're going to be calling and she'll be going on Daystar and as well as some other TV stations. You know, we have her right here, and she doesn't preach often, but this morning, you need to hang on, because this is a good one. Amen? Turn to someone and say, this is a good one. Can you welcome with me Pastor Rhonda Spencer?
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, this morning there is not enough time to even preach this sermon. I actually feel bad. I gave Pastor Chad my 13 pages of notes, and we have 30 minutes to share 13 pages of notes. So it's never enough time. So I knew that going in, and I wanted to make a special so that you could get this information into your spirit. So normally, and this is something I don't think we've released here in the house yet, we have a CD packet of the No More Hurt class, the teachings. It's 8 weeks of teaching, and normally it's $75. But today, I so desperately just want to get this information in your hands that we are going to do the workbook, the book, and the CD set for only $50. And that's today only. It won't be no rain checks, no nothing. This is just because I want you to further get this in your spirit after the message. And if you do pick it up, start with CD number 8. It's not in the books. It's not in the workbook. It is powerful. Start with CD number 8 and then go to CD number 1. So that is available after the service in the foyer. So, today's message on offense, Pastor Obi has a statement that he's made about offense. And offense is the only spirit more accepted in the church than the Holy Spirit. And isn't that the truth? It seems to be something that is so accepted in the church. As mature Christians, we see sin as the big things other people do, right? Am I the only one? All right. So let me rewind a little bit. I also want to say this message is so going to get into your business that you may become offended. So I'm going to start by telling you this, that this was written over 2 years ago. It's been preached all over. I'm not preaching at you and your circumstance and your situation. It's going to feel like that because the enemy takes this tactic on us all. But I promise you, I didn't cookie cutter this for you and your situation. This was done years ago. So just, I want you to receive it in the same way I was. This was written to me. This was God speaking to me, correcting me. So I had to go through this first. So I'm not pointing a finger of judgment or anything like that. And when God pointed this out to me, I was so happy. I was so happy that he loved me enough to correct me now so I could live abundant life on this earth with joy and peace and love, all the things that he had for me. And I wasn't upset and bitter about it. So this is how you're all going to receive that the same way today. Amen? All right. So now that we got that out of the way, we can get to the message. As mature Christians, we see sin as the big things that everybody else does. But this is a stealthy device of the enemy of our soul. He is still out working 24/7 to get you tripped up and to keep overlooking your justified, your rationalized, your excused offense. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time because I think it might have been a little bit deep to absorb. The enemy is working 24/7 to keep you justified, rationalized, and excused in your offense. That's what happens in the church. All the while you think you're fine. It's their problem. You see, it's not me. It's them. They're wrong, right? Is that how we all feel? It's not me. They're just wrong. Man, am I the only one in this place? It's not me. They're just wrong. How many of you have thought that before? And we justify and we rationalize why we're offended because they're just wrong. And so we think week after week that we're just fine because it's their problem, not ours. But guess what? We come to church thinking week after week that we're worshiping God. But something very different ends up happening. While we're trying to worship God, we're replaying offenses by people in the church everybody that's here and everything. The enemy's planting those seeds of offense in your head, and it's reviewing. He's reminding you, well, that person did this. That person does this. That person's like this. Reviewing, wow, we're supposed to be worshiping. That's what's going on in our mind. And guess what? When those thoughts come in our mind, isn't it incredible? Every single emotion necessary to support that thought will show up. When he plants that, now all of a sudden you're sad, or you're angry, or you're upset, or you're distracted. Every emotion necessary, while we're worshiping, or we think we're worshiping. See, that's the ploy of the enemy. You can come in week after week after week into the house of God and not actually be in the house of God at all. It happens all the time. I used to wonder how people could come to church for 40 years or 20 years or really just a few years and have awesome encounter with God and really have their life change and walk away. I was so confused by it until God showed me this. It's the only spirit in the church stronger than the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit of offense, and we ignore it. It's accepted. We rationalize it and we justify it, and it's destroying us. It's causing us, and we'll get on to that, it's causing us to walk away. But we come to church and we don't actually worship, learn, or grow. And we can't even hear from God because we're too busy being offended, or it's not me, it's just them. We're too busy with that while we're supposed to be receiving from God. The enemy of our soul knows human nature so well, he doesn't even care if you come to church. If he can keep you offended the entire time, he knows that you haven't really gone to church at all. So let's just look at some of the offense in the church. And there's lots of other areas of offense. We'd be here all day if we talked about them all. But today we're going to specifically talk about the church. Here's one. Oh, that person is sitting in my chair. Don't they know who I am? Oh, my goodness. It is embarrassing. I've sat up here and watched it play out in the church. I know we were at a church one time. We saw it happen, and it was the pastor's father and mother. Oops. See, it's the thing that's just accepted, and we rationalize, and well, they're the pastor's parents in the church. They have, no. All right, here's some more. I thought Julie was my friend. She walked right by me and never even said hi. What did I ever do to her? How rude. And she calls herself a Christian. And now all those emotions necessary to support that, now you're sad, you're rejected, and you're all upset because Julie, you thought she was your friend. She was just busy. She didn't even see you. She didn't ignore you. This music is just awful. If they can't get that sound right, well, I'm just not going to go back there again. They're so two-faced. They're one way in front of all those church people, but they act a whole nother way when they're outside of the church. Doesn't anybody know that? Did you hear what the pastor said? He was talking about me. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe she wore that to church. Why doesn't anybody say anything to her? They're so mean-spirited, I don't even want to sit in the same room as them. It might get on me. Did you see what they posted on Facebook? They're talking about me. They're on Facebook bashing me. Listen, every emotion necessary is rushing to show up and support those offenses in your spirit. I'm never going to sit here again. Those teenagers, all they do is talk. They're just on their phones. I can't even. It's so distracting. As a matter of fact, I can't sit over there because they talk too. I can't sit anywhere. I'm just going to have to leave. How am I doing so far? Does it sound how we behave in our time of worship? Got to move this or I'm a trip. In our time of worship, that's what we're doing while we're worshiping God or not. Listen, we get to the place where we feel like it's the church. It's not the church that's the problem, but we feel empty and dry and depleted and starving because week after week we go through the motions of church, but we've not actually been to church. We're not actually learning and we're not actually growing. And so we just feel like we aren't being fed there anymore. And we're not growing, so we're going to have to go somewhere else, Pastor. And guess what? That's going to work for a while. But I'm going to tell you, for a very little while. Because when the enemy trips you up once with this, you are just an easy, easy target for him to keep tripping up over and over again. So it's just a matter of time before you get offended again. Offense is hurting us. Offense is hurting. Let me show you what offense is doing in our lives. Uh-oh. My pages got out of order. I knew it started with the physical portion. So physically, let's talk about what offense does in our life. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she's a neuroscientist, has done studies, and many others too. There's lots of studies out there showing that offense actually can cause physical sickness and illnesses in our bodies. But her study shows that over 80% of all sickness and disease starts with negative thought in our mind. 80% or more. That's crazy. But, I mean, we can all see it. Offense is every day. It is an opportunity every single day in our lives to be offended. And if we think that we could just, like, win one major offense battle, oh, I did it. I'm good now. No, tomorrow's a new day, and there's lots of opportunity for offense every single day that's going to come before us. So it affects our physical body. If that's not a good enough reason to avoid offense, to reject and not accept offense, to not justify and rationalize offense, that it affects our health, let's think about if it does all of that physically, what does it do spiritually? Let's turn to the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say. You might want to write these scriptures down or get the CDs or DVDs afterwards. Mark 6, 3 through 5. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are these not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him and Jesus, and now he could do no mighty works there. He could do no mighty works there. When offense is in your life, it stops the power of God. I cannot afford to be offended. I cannot afford to be offended physically or spiritually. I cannot afford it. Offense is stopping the power of God in our lives. So let me show you the progression of offense. And this is with every single person. Please, please don't sit in your seat and say, I am so justified in my reasoning. I have every right to feel the way that I do. I'm going to show you through scripture the progress that offense takes in our lives. Not the progress, the progression that it takes. So if I could have Shannon, Jeremy, yep, come on up, everybody. Right there, yep, Matt, you too. Kayla. Come on, Julia. Pastor Bamfield. All right. Come on up under this umbrella. We're going to use this umbrella as an example of the covering of God. And here I am in church with my friends. And I'm going to show you what the progression of offense does. And now listen, we're a bunch of people. And people are fallible. They make mistakes. They do wrong. We're all imperfect. Every single one of us is imperfect, okay? Right? Do we all agree with that? Okay. So Mark 6, 16 through 17 in the Amplified says, And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they heard the word, received it and accepted and welcomed with joy, and they have no real root in themselves, so they'll endure for a little while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended. Hear these descriptive words of offended, because I know everybody's sitting here saying, I'm not offended. I get it. Displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And then Matthew 24:10 says, and then many of them will become offended and repelled. Ever been repelled by somebody? Ooh, just a little repelled. And will begin to distrust and desert, and will stumble and fall away, and betray one another, and pursue one another with hatred. This is what the Word of God shows what happens when offense, every emotion necessary to support that offense shows up. This applies into marriages, your workplace, I mean, so many different areas. We're just talking about church today. So they stumble and fall away. They pursue one another with hatred. Hatred. People that used to love you. This is how it happens in the church. You used to love them. They used to be your friends. And now all of a sudden, they pursue you. You villainize them. You make them bad in your mind. No, they're just people like you that make mistakes and do wrong things. Proverbs 10:12. Now let's take it from hatred. Hatred stirs up strife. Such a simple little word, strife. Let me define strife for you. Strife is conflict. So I know you said, I don't have any kind of offense. Conflict, discord, clash, struggle, friction. Just mere friction. And then it goes from hatred stirs up strife. Now we're at strife. James 3:14-16 says, where there is strife, every evil thing is present. So now all hell is breaking loose in your life. Whenever I get to the place where all hell is breaking loose in my life, I have to go back and check for offense. Where was that offense? And I have to deal with that offense and get it right. Because look at what offense has done to me. They were wrong. I didn't do anything. They did. But look at where I'm at now. I'm way over here, outside of the covering, the blessing, the favor, all of that of God. And here I am. But I didn't do anything. But I allowed that seed of offense to get inside my spirit. And I'm outside here, and all hell is breaking loose in my life. I'm not wrong. They are. It's hurting us. It's hurting us, not them. When you hold on to an offense because somebody did something to you, it's not hurting. Look at them. They're all in that happy little bubble over there. And here's me outside here. It only hurts you. It is not worth being offended. You cannot afford to be offended. Christian in the house of God, we've got to stop overlooking this thing. We've got to stop rationalizing it, justifying it, and excusing it. We have to acknowledge it and deal with it. We cannot afford to have offense in our life. One of the things that I like to do is when somebody comes to me, and people love to come to you. Have you ever noticed this? With their offense, trying to get you stirred up, and once they say it, then every emotion, they love to do that. You know what I've started doing? I'll look them right in the eye, and I'll say, I cannot afford to be offended. I cannot afford to be offended. I can't have my body sick and breaking down. I can't be powerless. I cannot afford to be offended. I cannot afford to be outside of the blessing and favor of God. I can't afford to be offended. So I don't care what they come to me with. I don't care if it's intentional, purposed. I just can't afford to be offended, and I won't be offended. Thank you so much, you guys. Amen. So we think, oh, it's no big deal. Kevin, can I have you come up here? Greg, Sam. Tanyetta, come on up here. Tara, come on up here. Kayla, come on up here. So can you hold these? Oh, you're not going to have to worry about the food. So this morning, I baked some brownies. Oh, yeah, Kevin, I got you coming up here. We have to get here in the morning for 7:15 a.m. prayer. So I had to bake these brownies, and I was in a big hurry, and I had to run out to the car. We've got this very large dog. His name is Benelli. He's big. So I ran out to the car with my spoon in my hand, and I dropped it in a pile of poo. Now, I was in a hurry. I had to be here. I'm a pastor's wife. I can't be late for church. I was in a hurry. So it wasn't a whole lot of poo. It was just a little bit. And there's just a few brownies there. You know, I just mixed it in the mix. And it's just a little bit. You don't mind, do you? You want that, don't you? Kevin, come on. It's just a little bit of poo. Oh, Kayla, I know you will. It's just a little bit. Actually, I could guarantee she wouldn't. It's just a little bit, though, right? It's just a little tiny. That's what we rationalize in our head. It's just one little. It's just this little area. I've got it all confined over to that one little spot. It's not affecting anything else in my life. Really, there's just a little poo in these brownies. Let me read to you a couple scriptures real quick. And it says, a little fly in the ointment, Ecclesiastes 10:1, a little fly in the ointment putrefies the whole thing. So we think we have it contained to this one little spot. It putrefies the entire thing. Listen, hurting people hurt people. So when you have a hurt in your life, it is coming out. It's through the whole entire thing. It is not contained to that one area like you think it is. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, don't you realize that this sin is like a little bit of yeast which spreads through the whole batch of dough? It's not a little thing. It's affecting every area of your life. Thank you very much. It's actually, I bought these from the store and I didn't bake them, and Benelli's not even home, so it's safe to eat them. I was just making a point. Here you go. Here. So when you justify by thinking it's just a little thing, understand it's affecting every area of your life. And we cannot allow offense in. So I'm going to give you some scriptures of how to handle when it is an actual, intentional, willful offense against you. Because it's not me, they're just wrong, right? So the first thing is you cannot offend a dead man. You can't. So let me explain. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So if his word is true, you can't be offended because your life has been crucified and it's Christ that's living in you. Amen? And then I love this passage of scripture. It is so convicting because we sit in the church as mature Christians thinking there's no sin that will beset us. But the enemy is very stealthy and sly. So the root of offense is unforgiveness. If you forgive, you're not going to be offended. You're not going to become bitter. You're not going to become resentful. You won't walk in that progression of offense that takes you away from the power of God. So let's read this. This is the Word of God, Amplified Version, Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, their reckless, willful sins. If you forgive people their reckless, willful sins, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. Awesome. But If you do not forgive men their sins, their reckless, willful sins against you, Amplified breaks that down. Nurturing your hurt and anger with a result that interferes with your relationship with God. The result of unforgiveness, offense, it affects your relationship with God. You're actually nurturing the hurt and anger, and it will affect your relationship with God. How? Let's finish reading the scripture. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. How many of you have ever sinned? That means we need forgiveness. We have to forgive so that we will be forgiven. Luke 6:37 tells us to acquit, forgive, release, give up resentment, let it drop. And you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released. Isn't that awesome? Acquit means to forgive, to relieve from an actual fault or a charge. To declare not guilty. They are, but the Word of God tells us just to acquit them. Because why does He tell us that? So they can get off the hook? No. So He can save your life. So He can set you free. So that you can have joy and peace. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. Because it's not, what you're doing is not affecting them. It's affecting you. I do want to stop and say right here, though, that if you are in an instance of abuse, please hear me so clearly. Forgiveness sometimes looks like never putting your hand under the mousetrap again. Okay? Because abusers would like to say, oh, you just have to forgive me. No, sometimes forgiveness looks like you're not going to put your hand under the mousetrap again. Because if you keep putting your hand under the mousetrap, you're not forgiving. Because you're just building up bitterness and resentment. I want to read to you a passage. I just found this one in my devotions this past week, and it was so exciting to read it, just confirming even more. The Word of God is full of how to handle offense. And why does He do that? Because He knows our lives are full of offense and opportunity. So Luke 6, verse 23, in the Amplified Version, the Word of the Lord, here it is. How many of you just want to be happy? Amen. That's what we are. I just want to be happy. I have the answer for you. It's so exciting. God tells us in His Word because that's His desire. He came that you could have abundant life, that you could have joy, that you could have peace, that you could have. He doesn't want you walking around broken and hurting and bitter. So He gives us the answer right in His Word. Luke 7:23, Amplified Version, and blessed, happy with life. Joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from outward conditions, and to be envied is he who takes no offense in me. Do not get offended with God. That is a whole nother sermon. It is in the stuff that you can get at the table, but do not get offended with God. And listen, it goes on to say, and who is not hurt or resentful, or annoyed, or repelled. Do these words sound familiar? Or made to stumble, whatever may occur. So if you want to be happy, blessed, walking in the favor of God, don't be offended with God, and don't be offended with any person, no matter what may occur. Because as long as you stay offended, they hold you captive. You have a hook in that thing. It's going to keep you back there. But God knows when you let it go and you acquit, here you get to be free. You get to have tremendous power. You get to walk in the favor and the blessing of the Lord. So His Word goes on to say, there's lots of verses, so Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against anyone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because we've all been forgiven while we were yet sinners. You know, sometimes we wait. Man, this is only a trap for yourself. We're waiting for them to say sorry. We're waiting for them to change. We're waiting for them to make it right. Man, that is just a trap for you to say, I'm not hurt, it's them. No, it's hurting you. It's affecting your life. That's why God tells us, forgive just like you were forgiven. Don't wait for them to say, forgive quickly, forgive immediately. Don't allow that thing on you. I can't afford to be offended. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. You know, hurting people hurt people. I've taught my kids since they were young. If somebody's being mean, it's because they're hurting. And you might not be able to see that on the exterior. You might think they have everything together and everything's going perfect in their life. But happy, healthy people don't just go around hurting other people. Hurting people hurt people. So instead of getting upset and letting it destroy your life, have compassion. That's how God tells us to pray for those who curse us. Bless them. Do good to them. Because we need to have compassion because they're hurting and broken people themselves. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And then Proverbs 17:9, this is good. Good advice from the Word of God. You will keep your friends if you forgive them. Now, there's a thought, but oh, listen, it goes on. But you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. Simple. Here's one of my favorites. I know, every scripture is my favorite, and you will hear me say that all the time. I love the Word of God. I just love it. I can't live without it. Actually, I was just talking to Mr. Moss, and he was saying he dug up a fence. Offense. It was pretty honey, in his backyard. But no, he really did dig up a fence. But when he dug up the fence, there were still big holes in the ground. So he had to make sure he filled those holes with good things. The Word of God. Good stuff, sir. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 13:5. This is a fun one for me. It says, pay no attention to a suffered wrong. That means it's real. Reckless and willful wrong. Pay it no attention. You owe that thing nothing. You don't even have to acknowledge it. You don't even, oh, that is so much fun when you get to the place where a suffered, willful, intentional wrong doesn't move you at all. It doesn't affect you. I'm going to stay under that umbrella. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do good to you. I'm going to pay it no attention at all. We know we are acting a way that is contrary to the Word of God when we have offense. Listen, I just read a whole bunch of scriptures, and there's so many more, but for the sake of time, I can't add them all. If you are walking in offense, you are not walking according to God's Word. I know our brain justifies it. I know we rationalize it, but it's the enemy of your soul planting a fence that will only destroy and hurt you. If you have offense, you are not walking according to the Word of God. Oops. And then here's the best response out of them all. It comes from Jesus himself. And it's found in John 8, verse 7. And this woman had been caught in the actual act of adultery. The legal response, the justified response, the actual thing that should have happened was she was to be stoned. That is what was supposed to happen because she was wrong. Even when they're wrong, look at Jesus' response. He's so awesome. If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone. Isn't that amazing? That's what God wants us to do with offense. You know, we love that scripture when we get to say it to somebody else about stuff we've done. Let's reverse it, though, and rewind. And when it has to be said to us, yeah, that person wronged you, but if you're without sin, cast the first stone. I have 3 stones up here. Anybody without sin? No, I didn't think so. That's how we have to apply to a real offense, willful, reckless offense. And why? Why? For us, because God wants us to be free from anything hindering, anything holding us back. He wants us to be healthy, whole, and happy, and he tells us how to do it. But we have to stop as a church, as mature Christians, allowing offense to get into our lives. We have to stop it before it even settles in our life. We have to stop and just say, I can't afford to be offended. I have to say it out loud to myself. Sometimes I have to shout it at the enemy because he likes to do a replay over and over. You know, you can say it. You can stop an offense. And it's not the last time you're going to have to stop that offense. You may have to stop that offense 5 minutes down the road, another 15 minutes down the road, the next day. You may have to stop it every day from now until the end of time. But I'm telling you, you cannot afford to be offended. Not at any stage and not any time in this life. We cannot afford to be offended. So here's the hope, and I'm going to end right here. James 5:16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. I'm not perfect. Confess that we're not perfect. Your slips, your offenses, and your sins. And pray for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of heart and mind. When we refuse offense, we are restored to a spiritual sense of heart and mind. It gets even better than that. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Do you want tremendous power available to you? Get rid of offenses. Get rid of offenses, and you will see tremendous, dynamic power available to you. And that is how we all want to live. Amen. So I hope today that you've taken this message and that it has gotten into your spirit. And those offenses, maybe those offenses have been there for years. Sometimes we hold on to things for so many years. Guess what the Word of God tells us? Just let it go. Acquit. Forgive. Take the hook out of, take the control away from that person. Take the hook out. You get to walk in. You choose what you get to walk in. You can either walk in happiness, joy of life. You can walk in the favor of God. You can walk in tremendous power, or you can walk in offense, and it affects your relationship with God. It affects your physical self. The church needs to get rid of offense, whether they're wrong or not. It has no effect on your life unless you allow it to. So if we could just all bow our heads and close our eyes, I'm not going to have you come forward, because you know what? Every single person would come forward, because this is something we all deal with. But I want you to think of that offense that you've been holding on to. Maybe there's lots of them. I mean, I've known people that have written them down and logged them. You might have a lot of them. God's going to deal with those. When you let them go, he's going to bring in his healing power, and he's going to restore you to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. And we're going to pray, because we can deal with everything that's already on our plate. In 5 minutes, you might have to arrest offense again. Offense is a continued thing that we have to learn to not accept. So we're going to pray for all the offenses we already have, and that he will give us the strength to conquer any offense for any reason that comes in, so that we can be happy and filled with joy and peace and tremendous power. Amen. Father God, right now, all across this room, I'm asking for courage based on your word that they have heard, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. So as an act of faith right now, letting go of every offense, just letting it go, Father. Thank you right now that we're letting those things go. Come in and heal. Come in and restore. Come in and make tremendous power available. Thank you, God, that it no longer has a hold on us. It no longer has a hook on us. It can no longer affect us. Thank you, Jesus. We forgive them. We forgive them. And God, every new offense opportunity that comes in, we will say, I will not be offended. I cannot afford to be offended. And that we will walk with no offense until the day of Jesus Christ, as your word declares. And we thank you for it in your precious name. Thank you for making us free, and free indeed. Amen. As you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to offer anybody the opportunity. Maybe you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus. Never. Maybe you've never asked him to be your Lord. Or maybe you've walked away from God and you're not serving him and you want to do that this morning. We would love to lead you to your best friend, the one that will never leave you or forsake you, will never quit on you, never give up on you. If that's you in this place and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to raise your hand real quickly in this room. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else? Real quickly, we're not going to wait a long time. If you just want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're going to count down right now from five. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Five, four, three, two, thank you, and one. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Mindy's going to come forward. The young lady that raised her hand for salvation, if you will come right up here and meet Mindy. We want to get a Bible in your hand. We want to set you up for success. You made the best decision of your life. Go ahead and come forward. Maybe your friend will come with you. Somebody bring her forward. Thank you. And everybody in this house, you have been set free by the power of God today. From his word today, his word has just been healing for our spirits, our minds, and our hearts. And so today you leave different than you came into this place. You leave free of that thing. And when it tries to come back up again, I just want you to say out loud, I cannot afford to be offended. Amen. Let's all say that together. I cannot afford to be offended. Amen. Have a blessed week. We love you so much.